Man, it's your boy Country coming live from the South. Got something to say, man. It's episode 86. And we back in the building. The studio is bright, light, and ready to fight. Let's go.
What's happening, man? It's your boy DJ Big Dream, the Dirty 30 representative. We in here.
Y'all already know it's the heavenly orchestrated, never duplicated lyrical symphony known as the Eternal One Eternity, holding it down for the South.
As the boys like to say, Spike, 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 where you at?
Back in the building, looking like a, man, he dirt.
Don't do it. Look at him. All right, now.
Look at him. Man, hold let me tell you.
Let me get my shit together. Let me sit up.
Hey, look, don't mess up the feng shui. You dirty.
Wait a minute. We just jumped right into this. Y'all forgot one very important thing.
What's that?
Yeah. Now y'all can talk.
Yeah. Let me tell you, bro. If you look at Spike right now.
You ain't know they was going to do you like this, did you?
Oh, my goodness. Look at his boots. They're starting to grow roots.
I ain't never heard of that one. So you
know she ate my home. I'm sick of this mug.
I don't remember that one. I don't remember that one.
So it's been this UFC guy on TikTok been doing these like knee crawl things, but he clean. You look like what would happen if you did it in real life, bro. Like, bro, your pants supposed to be khaki. They ain't. He ain't saying nothing. Oh, man. Hey, Dream, you see? Bro, that nigga pants your color.
On the knees.
Well, what you been doing?
I'm waiting on this motherfucker to get done. Get all that shit out.
It's the whole episode, big dog.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. This ain't going to ever stop. So
don't tell me nothing about being quiet tonight. When I get to talking shit, I don't want to hit
the I mean, I ain't got no problem.
Every time I open my damn mouth to say whatever I want to say, man. Nope.
I don't mind you talking.
I'm Dream tonight.
I don't mind you talking. I don't mind none of that. Just don't step on nobody when you're talking. And, you know, keep my car, my couch clean. Outside of that, bro, I ain't tripping.
Hey, what?
Keep the profanity at a minimum, and then and then we good. Bro, this nigga Spike look like he working a coal mine, boy. Hey, so it's episode 86. We back. Bro, he is looking at me with the evil eye, bro. They got some, they talk about that, man. You can't look at people like that. This is episode 86, man. We back with the South Guys on site. Man, we got a special guest in the building. Spike, Spike, Spike is back. And, man, we had, how was our week been, man? Big Dream, how you doing? Eternal, how you doing?
I did it all this week, man.
He don't want to talk.
I finished my episodes of Money Heist. That shit was good.
So you just not getting done with Money Heist?
Yeah. Well, I just started it, too, though.
Late.
I just started the first episode.
You watched all four seasons?
A week or so ago.
I'm about two seasons back.
I watched all five seasons in about 8 days.
It's five seasons?
Yeah, it's five seasons.
They concluded it, huh?
Yeah, that's the end of it, I believe.
It's concluded.
I don't know. They can bring it back.
I think it's concluded now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start over and just watch it all.
Bro, I'm looking for the Wikipedia page to give me the summary, bro. I'm 2 foot back. I ain't starting over. I ain't doing none of that. I'm gonna look for the Wikipedia page, read the summary.
I love it, man. It was good. But, you know, last week when we was here, y'all talked about the book Will.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was trying to hurry up and conclude my seasons of Money Heist because when I got to do stuff, you know, laser focus. Or if not, I lose myself.
So
when I did Money Heist, I don't want to do nothing else until I finish Money Heist. So once I got done Money Heist, I started Will and I did it in 4 days. I think 4 days.
Dream called me on Wednesday. The day after we record, He's like, bro, I'm got to finish this show series, and then I'm going to start a Will book. I'm like, what you up? He know, I'm watching Money Heist. So I'm like, okay, cool. Bro called me today and was like, yeah, bro, Will was pretty good, man. I was like, wait a minute. How? Bro, first off, for people that don't understand, the audiobook of Will, which is better than the book, and I know you're not supposed to say stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it is.
It is.
Audiobooks are normally better than the book now. So back in the old day, they'd be like, you watch a movie and they'd be like, the book better?
Right.
Well, it's the opposite when you're talking audiobook.
Yeah, I agree.
So the book may be better than the movie, but the audiobook is better than the book because they're doing stuff they don't do in the, they can't do physically in the book.
Right.
The book is 16 hours long.
Yes.
16 hours, 16 minutes.
So, Dream called me yesterday and said, I finished the book. And I was like, how? Bro, think about that, bro. From Thursday, when he said he started listening,
yeah,
to Monday, he listened to 16 hours.
16 minutes.
I mean, that's solid. Because it took me a little over a week. It took me about 10 days.
Bro, you know, you finished the book before I did. And oh, I got the book. I got the audio book. I got my book and the audio book on release date.
Oh, okay.
But I also took it in when I knew I could really listen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and but I know Dream, the way he operates, is that if he listens to something, he'll know everybody around him.
Yep. the people that know me, if I'm into something, I'm really indulging in it. So it ain't right. Me got it on and just fucking off. Man, you talked about, you know, I really got into the book, you know.
Versus I had to change an intake on a car motor in the middle of the night, and I listened to it. I can do that, though, because I'm working on something and listening.
Right.
But, like, if I was listening to it and you pulled up at my house and started talking to me,
no.
I'm stopping it and I'm
going
to wait until I can get back to it. I want my undivided attention. I can do with my hands and listen, but I can't talk to somebody else and listen.
Funny enough, that's actually how I got into podcasts.
Right.
Because I was working by myself for 8 hours a day.
And you had time.
I had time. It's something that you can listen to. Like, I had got to the point where I had a schedule where I was like, all right, cool. This is what I'm listening to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I was short a little bit. So I was like, but normally that's when new music dropped. You know what I'm saying? Or at least at the time, that's when new music was dropping. So it was like, all right, cool. So I'm listening to these two podcasts. I'll be done by noon. And then I got like 3 albums on deck. Right. And I listened to them albums.
So that's exactly how I got starting podcasts.
Right.
This weak ass shirt that Spike got on right now, that Austin shirt, I worked there too. I used to sit in front of a panel for 10 hours. Sitting in front of that panel, I used to listen to mad music. I started running out of music. Like, bro, I listened to so much music. Like, I had memorized everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlamagne Tha God at this time, this is when he just started getting super hot from The Breakfast Club. Started bringing in his podcast. That's the first podcast I listened to. So I was listening to his. That gave me extra content to listen to outside of music. Right. And that's what got me in podcasting as well. Because I did the same thing. But he called me yesterday and was like, man, I finished the book. And I was like, bro, what? And we had a long conversation about the book. So he read it. But we finna give our official review. It's been long enough. If y'all haven't read the book, that's on y'all. Because it's been long enough. You can read the book. Tell us what you think, big dog.
Well, I'm finished with all I did because I went through. I went ahead and got a chance to watch Shang-Chi.
Okay.
And the new Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
I was on it this week, bro.
I
put some contents in.
Better out of the Shang-Chi and Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Okay.
I just want to make sure you need something.
Just curious.
I ain't seen it. Spike wanted to know because Shang-Chi is a great movie, for sure.
Have you seen Shang-Chi?
I seen Shang-Chi. I thought it was excellent, but I ain't seen Spider-Man yet.
Yeah, Spider-Man. Hell yeah. I don't think they compare them. Sometimes I think importance of the character to make a movie better.
I think you only say that because we've been around for 2 Spider-Man movies. Plus, we've had Civil War and, 2, 3 Avengers movies. So, we'd had like 5 movies to care about this dude.
Well, bigger than that, you had 7 Spider-Man movies.
In total.
7 Spider-Man movies to care about this guy. But Shang-Chi is a B-list Marvel.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
That's the biggest issue. He's a B-list Marvel because he's not a canon, so it's hard to be super invested in him. Now, mind you, his movie was great.
Yeah.
Now, the sure signs of a great movie is what happened in Ant-Man, the first one.
Yeah.
Ant-Man is one of the best Marvel movies created.
It is.
That was a good one.
Because although he was B-list, it just was a great movie. Shang-Chi did the same thing. So
it made you care about the character when you didn't care about him before.
Craig done said this to me several times. I just didn't really. Ant-Man didn't resonate with me like that.
I like the Ant-Man.
You should rewatch it, bro.
That's what I said. Maybe I need to rewatch it again or something. I don't know.
I like
that. Ant-Man was top tier, bro. The first one was top tier. And everybody, you agree, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree for Ant-Man.
It's top tier, bro.
argue. I just say, I mean, maybe I need to rewatch it.
They're doing Quantumania too, so I'm kind of interested to see what they're gonna do with that too.
Quantumania, yeah. And then Doctor Strange
and the Multiverse of Madness. That
and the Multiverse. Like,
so before Spider-Man, Ant-Man was your favorite one out of all Avengers?
No.
What was your favorite before Spider-Man?
So I don't classify Black Panther, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't classify Black Panther because it's black. It's black.
Mm-hmm.
Probably will be the one, and it would honestly, the storyline versus some of the others is still better in others, but right. It just made me feel better, right? It was all about emotion. It tied emotion to me. But Ant-Man, the first Iron Man, Civil War.
Your favorite Marvel movie was Ant-Man? That's why I asked, and you said no.
It's no, I can't give you my favorite because I don't have a number one until now. But Iron Man, Ant-Man, Civil War, Black Panther, it's my favorite. So I feel like I'm missing somebody. Am I missing somebody?
I put Endgame in there.
Endgame was great, but the Avenger thing to me is a little.
It's the NBA All-Star.
Yes,
I feel like, that's why I don't want to compare it.
And that's why I'm so hard on Avengers, bro, because you got 40 stars in a movie.
If you don't, I'm going to just be real. If you going, we was talking about Will, but I know since we dove into this, I think if you do that, you got to classify Civil War in that same category. Because Civil War wasn't nothing but like a B-side Avengers Hills movie. Legit. I mean, it's a great movie.
It was,
but it is an all-star Marvel movie.
I thought Civil War was one of the top ones. It's probably one of my top three.
I think, but so it's a difference, right? So like,
because what's called the introduction to Black Panther was amazing to me.
With Civil War,
yeah, that's one of the reasons why, you know, that was one of my favorite.
The problem I have with the Avengers movies versus Civil War. It's the Avengers movie. They say, oh, this is the problem. This is what we're going to do to fix it. I'm going to show you. That's it. Right?
Okay.
Versus something like Civil War. This is the problem. This is what we're going to do to fix it. Oh, that didn't work. We're going to try this to fix it. Oh, that didn't work. We're going to try this to fix it. Big battle. Resolve.
I got you.
Right? Versus Avengers. Every Avenger movie is, this is the problem. This is what we're going to do to fix it. They do it. It's resolved. It's so many big stars that you don't have a chance to go back and add conflict to. The only time they did that was in Infinity War. When they was pulling the glove off, it didn't work. Conflict, boom, let's retry. Then, boom, reality is awfully disappointing. Boom, retry. They did that in Infinity War. Endgame, they did not do that. It was straightforward. It was super linear.
I also think that, so I'm going to tell you, I think I put my, not necessarily, I'm going to put Thor Ragnarok in that too. I love Ragnarok.
Ragnarok is one of my favorite
ones. I knew I was missing something. Ragnarok is up there.
But I think about moments in Marvel movies, and Endgame had some moments.
It did.
How do you say Thor's hammer? Is it the Mjolnir? Or however you say it?
Mjolnir. It's a weird way to say it.
Well, however you say it. When he took control and he hit the Avengers Assemble and all them portals started opening up in Endgame.
You talking about Captain America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying in Endgame, in that moment is one of those moments to me.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you think about even simple moments like in Ragnarok when he had to go against the Hulk.
Right.
And he's like, yes! But he don't realize that Hulk don't know who he is right now because it's small moments like that.
Yeah. So if you pick moments, sure. The Avengers game's got some of the biggest moments. Puny God from the first Avengers.
But I still categorize them. Any one time was like a whole group of them. It was like a low-key game, ass. Like, the other ones, I kind of put them together in their own group. Which one out of the groups the best? When I talk about the solo movies, which I like to characterize, which solo movie was the best? Black Widow, Hulk, Thor, Captain America. I like to characterize
so the origin stories.
Yeah.
So like you want to talk about an origin movie? Yeah. Which one was the best?
That's why I'd rather care. So let's do the old star.
What everybody say their favorite? I know you hadn't seen the Spider-Man movie yet. I hadn't seen the Black Widow movie yet.
I've seen them.
We talk about favorite Marvel movie period or?
without the Avengers. Without
the groups, yeah.
So take the Avengers saga out.
Yeah.
Just put the
solo.
We talking MCU only though, right?
MCU on.
No, I think it's fair playing ground. For me, it's easy. I'm the biggest Iron Man fan on Earth.
Iron Man 1.
Yeah. I'm like all Iron Man because I'm the biggest Iron Man fan on Earth. You know what I'm saying? So, I feel like you feel about Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But
right, for sure. Yeah. I feel
I'm biased towards Black Panther because it's Black Panther.
Exactly. We all feeling the same
if
way.
If I'm going to take Black Panther out,
Can we count Ragnarok as a solo though?
Yeah, you can.
Yes, it is. It's literally Thor called Thor
and Valkyrie.
No, it's Thor.
But it's about Thor
though.
It's called Thor.
I mean, Civil War is Captain America.
Yeah, but it's got everybody in there.
But the screen time is given to Captain America.
I'm probably say Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2 is your favorite.
I like the first Iron Man. Don't get me wrong. But I think I liked everything that came from Iron Man 2 a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe I was leaning into that just a little bit more.
So 2 is yours?
Probably so. I think I've seen Iron Man 2 more than I've seen anything else besides Black Panther. Like, I gotta watch Black Panther a million times.
Ragnarok, easily. I was going to X that one out because it had multiple Avengers in it.
That's number one. Fair. We just said not Avengers canon movies. Yeah. So, you Thor Ragnarok. So if I
wait real quick, what was the other Thor then?
You got
Ragnarok was the second one.
Wait a minute, you got Thor.
Wait, you got three Thors.
Listen, you got Thor, and the War of the Dark World where they had to fight the dark trolls, and then you got Ragnarok, and then you got Love and War coming next. Oh,
Love and Thunder.
Yeah, it's coming.
I ain't know the three.
So it's gonna be four.
I've seen them for sure, but. Okay.
Yeah. So the first one was about the Frost Giants.
Fact, that's when you find out that Loki is not dead.
Second one was the Dark Elves. Where they had the
then when he went over by himself and went to fight them, then he got in trouble.
Yeah, and then you got the one with the Dark Elves, the Ether. That red black smoke looking stuff with the elf dude.
Yeah.
And Thor got demolished for a little while.
Yeah.
And then now you got Ragnarok.
Ragnarok, the one hooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his sister, which
was powerful
enough to kill everybody, it seemed like.
Yeah, the one who broke his helmet.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen them all. I guess I didn't realize it was three of them.
It's three. So my favorite. So this is, and they know how I feel. I went and watched No Way Home solo on Saturday. I think it's the best Marvel movie they made.
So I wasn't going to get into that yet because I thought that, you know, I knew that's where we was going.
Right. So it is my favorite.
Was y'all intending on talking about that?
We're not going to go into detail with it because we don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about it a little bit.
It ain't been out long enough for everybody to see it yet either.
Right. Yeah. So that's why we ain't going to go in detail with it.
You shouldn't talk about it out there.
No.
Well, we're just going to.
So with that being said.
You seen it?
Yeah.
Everybody's seen it but you.
So with that being said.
The rest of the listeners.
No. I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
With that being said, I completely agree.
Yeah. That's one of the best. Well, it is the best.
It's the best.
If I had to put like top, I ain't going to even say top five. I'd say top three. It's definitely top three, if not number one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite.
I could go with top three.
It's like that.
Iron Man is nothing tops Iron Man.
For it's me. My favorite Marvel movie.
Tony Stark is my very number one favorite character. It used to be Hulk.
Mine too.
It used to be the Hulk.
You mean overall? Yeah. Like comic books overall?
Yeah.
Oh. Ugh.
It used to be
Iron Man, mine too, bro.
It used to be Hulk, bro. But when Hulk got holed out by Thanos, it was like, woo. Man, I don't know.
Hey, that was the funniest shit that was.
Let me.
No.
I want to land my point real quick, and then we can go into. We ain't gonna dive into Spider-Man much, man, because I know. It's a lot of people that hadn't seen it.
I'm telling everything.
Oh, my God. So.
I'm just playing, man.
Spider-Man is my favorite Marvel movie, period, to date. My second is, you right, Spike, Ant-Man. Ant-Man is probably my two. Ant-Man was uncontrollably good.
Two would be Civil War.
For mine, is Luke Cage.
Whoa, whoa, you see, you added a new dynamic just then.
We're talking about
shows.
Whoa,
that
MC
is. We talk about
yes. MCU.
Oh, that was a joke. I had no idea he was in that.
Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage.
Bro, I ain't know there was all on
Punisher.
I ain't know there was all on that too.
Yes.
My man, we going up, bro. I ain't mean to open up that wormhole.
The Punisher just smite.
The Punisher series is probably the best.
I was just about to say that. If you want to talk about my favorite character
ever,
the Punisher.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
Hands down.
Frank Castle, Punisher, screaming Russo. I hear that in my dreams sometimes. Russo!
Well, my favorite character, if I had to pick a character in that, is the Bushmaster.
Bruh, did you watch the Punisher?
Yes.
Bruh, Bushmaster was dope.
Yeah,
but not dope as Punisher.
He ain't Frank Castle.
He wasn't Frank Castle.
No, there's never been another Frank Castle.
Speaking of which, and I'm only gonna touch on this, and then I'm sorry. Were you?
No, Brett, don't spoil nothing, bro. Because you about to. Don't
no, I'm not.
Go ahead. We can say
no.
We can't.
Spider-Man.
We can't. We gotta be fair, man. Let's not.
Yeah, no.
Let's
bro,
not
spoil
it ain't even just me. You gonna screw up a lot of people. It's only been out for what?
It's only been out for a couple days.
I'm not. I wasn't even talk about Spider-Man. I was finna ask y'all, did y'all see the new Punisher skull?
The what?
So, you know, the actual Punisher skull, like what everybody knows about.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of like white supremacist groups have adopted that.
Yeah.
As like, so
they made
the
a new
comics, one. Yes, they're changing the Punisher skull. I hate it.
Oh wait, I gotta give applause for one reason. They deserve an applause because bro, that's something that's been going on.
Yes.
A lot of white supremacist group took the Punisher symbol and made it their own.
Yeah.
And even if the new symbol isn't as live as the old one, the fact that they realized that, hey, look, man, they misusing our
I agree symbol. With that part. You want to tell the only part that I hate about it, though?
What's that?
Is that I love that Punisher skull.
The original.
I love it, bro.
I mean, I got one I work out in.
Yeah. Punisher is like that. Man, I want to get... Hey, so look, Facebook, we want to get in Spider-Man so bad, but we got to be fair. We got to be fair. We got to give people time to watch it. And
can we talk about without telling them that?
Was
it any part of the movie that surprised you?
But it takes away from the originality.
A lot of parts of the movie.
Surprised you? A lot of it surprised you?
A lot of it was like... nostalgia, oh my God, this is what they're doing. They're doing it right. Thank God. Oh my goodness. Is that who I think it is? It is. Oh my.
Yeah.
Fangirl, all that. Did all that. In the theater by myself.
It was the meme coming to life.
Yes. Yes.
It's all the meme coming to life.
All I think it was some great writing in the movie. I love the way it was written. Yeah, I like the way it's written.
So, you know, Spider-Man is arguably the biggest character in Marvel.
I can believe that.
It's arguably the biggest character in Marvel.
In any movie with Wong in it?
Wong is in every Marvel movie.
Wong is going to be a good movie. He'll make a guest appearance.
Wong popped up in Shang-Chi.
Yeah, he'll make a guest appearance.
He even got in
unless it's fire,
he
was
in there. Bro, Wong is bigger than you think, bro. Yeah. Wong is in every Marvel movie. He's
supposed to be. And he's talking shit in this one.
And... because we don't want to ruin it, but when you go watch Spider-Man, you're going to understand why Wong is in every movie.
Yep. He the man, Carl.
you go find out why Wong is in every
movie.
It's
greatness, bro. It's pure greatness, dog.
So, I'm going to say this real quick. You been watching Hawkeye?
I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't seen that yet.
So, go watch Black Widow before you watch Hawkeye.
Okay. I already seen Black Widow.
He talking to me because he know I ain't seen.
Yeah.
He know I ain't seen.
But go watch Black Widow before you go watch Hawkeye, because there's a character in Hawkeye that you meet in Black Widow.
I already get it. Is it a female?
Yep.
Black female.
Nope.
One of the white ones then.
Yep.
Not the sister.
Nope.
Okay. One of the red stuff exploded on.
Just, man, look.
Don't tell them. We'll figure it out. They don't know it either. So, So we got here on a tangent. This supposed to have been a little bit later in the show.
Yeah. Right.
But we got here on a tangent. Because the movie is so great that it's hard not to talk about it. Hey, fans and Southers, we doing y'all a huge favor right now and not talking about this because we want to.
Can we talk about Shang-Chi?
Yeah, we can talk about Shang-Chi.
I don't care.
We talk about Shang-Chi.
The reason why I want to talk about it, because I wonder, is it the same woman from Shang-Chi? Did you notice she had a small smile from Shang-Chi that came from Black Widow?
I don't.
And
you can't do that if I hadn't seen it. Dream, you are so.
Yeah, okay,
We'll talk off camera.
So he can we talk about Shang-Chi? But the only reason why you want to talk about Shang-Chi
is so he can expose
secrets from something that I hadn't seen that we're going to talk about in the future.
Right. Did you watch the Easter eggs of Shang-Chi?
Of course.
But then you already seen what I'm talking about.
He don't know that though, Dream.
Oh, okay.
Damn.
Okay.
Bro, old niggas.
So I'm gonna tell you what I did like about Shang-Chi. I like that they tied in Iron Man 3. Like,
yeah, with the man, the Mandarin.
With the Mandarin.
Yeah.
Well, that Mandarin shit go way back farther than that. That's why I asked about these things.
But that's what I'm saying. When we first met the Mandarin was, it was in Iron Man 3.
Two. Yeah.
It was three. Yeah. It was three. Cause two had
It was in one.
No.
Okay, well, which one did they kidnap Tony Stark in?
That's
part one, when he made the first suit.
When he made the first
suit. Those guys who were holding him captive got the 10 rings behind
them. They were the 10 rings.
It's in one.
But you don't know who they are.
You don't know
three.
Who they are. That's right.
In three, you still don't really know who they are.
Right.
But you find out who they are in Shang-Chi.
That's what I liked about Shang-Chi the most.
Okay. I see that.
Yeah. No, that makes a ton of sense. Yeah, you're right. Shang-Chi. So we're gonna do a Shang-Chi quick deep dive?
Yeah, we can do that.
I mean, he only wanted to talk about it to ruin other stuff. No. So he ain't got much of a take after that.
Yes, I do, because I actually did research on Shang-Chi. I've never heard of Shang-Chi before.
Oh, so I knew who the Ten Rings was way before.
I never knew who it was.
I'm a comic book guy.
I watched it first so I could be surprised. I want to be surprised with it.
I'm a comic book guy.
I was so shocked when the Mandarin was there and all that stuff started tying out with Blue. So then I did my deep dive research afterward, and I'm like, holy shit, my research was funner than watching the movie.
So Daredevil and the Ten Rings got a huge history.
Yes.
Huge history. Like, even if you watch the Daredevil series, mm-hmm. they talk about the Ten Rings a lot in the series.
His name ain't Daredevil, is it?
It is Daredevil.
The dude with the painted face?
No.
What? The painted face? No, the red That's glasses. The red Matt Murdock.
Yeah.
It's Daredevil.
A.K.A. the lawyer.
Shang-Chi?
No. In the Daredevil TV series.
There's a Daredevil series the same way there's a Luke Cage series.
Yeah, I seen it, but I'm lost somewhere. What did we miss? I missed something.
The Ten Rings was heavily involved in Daredevil.
Oh, say, I don't remember that.
Okay.
I missed that. That's why I'm lost to shit.
Yeah.
It happens. Go ahead.
Just like that. But yeah, they're heavily involved in Daredevil.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Ten Rings is heavily involved there. Man, Shang-Chi was a great film because they didn't have a bar. They shot a movie with the story, and they didn't have to impress.
Yeah.
They had no expectations. And when they do that, they kill it every single time. They did that with Ant-Man. They did that with Shang-Chi. Apparently, they did it really well with Black Widow.
You know, I have very rarely said this. This is probably going to sound so bad when I do, but I'm going to say it anyway. There aren't a whole lot of Marvel movies that I can't go back and watch, and it feels laborious. Mm-hmm. Black Widow feels a little laborious going back to watch it. Like, okay. I tried to go back and watch it, like, again, just to kind of see if I missed something or, you know, things of that nature. Maybe it's because we know the fate of Black Widow already, that it just...
My biggest problem is that she just...
It was an origin story that came, like, 5 years too late. It felt like that.
I feel that. And
I agree with you.
My biggest problem with Black Widow is that she's not... I mean, bro, she's never important.
She's important to me.
You know what?
I mean, that's the only part about her is important. It's the person that played her.
We
care less about nothing else other than the person that played her.
Yeah, like, so, like, I watched Black Widow twice.
Mm-hmm.
But that second time, it's like, bro, it was rough. Like,
I ain't trying to watch.
Like, when I tell you, I got through probably like the first 30, 40 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you ever had a moment so you'd be like, I don't watch this right now. And then you just go find something else to do.
Right.
I just straight up flipped I straight up went from Marvel back to the regular Disney stuff. I think I watched Aladdin.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Bruh, so it's two canon animated Avenger movies.
I've seen those.
Avengers 1 and 2. Yeah. Both of them are canon animated movies. They old, way before the Avengers was a real thing. In
okay, yeah.
Ant-Man has a huge role in the Avengers. He ain't canon as a regular character. Right. But in the Avengers, he is a long-lasting character. Mm-hmm. He is a long-lasting character. I am glad to see the Ant-Man story because he does stuff significant. Ant-Man breaks the Hulk's knee. He also chokes the Hulk out, which is hard to do.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. But you got to watch the animated stuff to see that. And I'm the only reason why I'm telling it, because one, it been out for 10 plus years.
Yeah.
And
Ant-Man, a bad man, ain't whooping on the hook.
Where so Ant-Man gets small and big.
Mm-hmm. He get real big, too, like the size of a city big.
Yeah, he gets small and big. And in animated series, I'm going to tell it because it's 10 plus years old. In the animated series, Hulk goes on a rampage. And one or two. Can't remember which one. And this is part of the story of the real Avengers series. They talk about Hulk Rampage in the real, the MCU series. Ant-Man jumps on Hulk's neck as an ant. And then expands on his neck and chokes him out. That's the second thing. Then the first time he jumps on his knee and expands and punches it and breaks his knee. And then jumps on his neck and chokes him out. And then Captain America and Iron Man can subdue him. Mm-hmm. But that's how it happens in that. If it wasn't for Ant-Man, they lost.
Yeah.
Because Hulk was going crazy. But Ant-Man is that dude. Like, he can jump on your neck and expand and choke you out.
Right.
And my girl did all that same shit just by looking sexy. Hey, big guy. The sun is going down. Hey, give her a little credit, man. Put some respect on her name.
Yeah, bro, I'm sorry. It's the only thing I can give her is the actor. But Shang-Chi, let's wrap up Shang-Chi because we're gonna get back to Will. We're going back to Will.
So I felt like they missed a couple spots of Shang-Chi.
Y'all seen Eternals yet?
Like the old one?
I hadn't seen the new Eternals.
No, like the new one.
No. Of course he has.
You know, as far as phase 4 is concerned, it's going to be hard to top Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be hard to top Spider-Man. You stayed for the after credits, right?
Nope.
Absolutely, I did.
You didn't stay for the after credits?
I was on YouTube.
That's crazy. Oh, here's.
I know. All Marvel, you stay to the role, but
Oh, my God.
You watch it today or something?
I watched it right before I came in.
Oh, that's why. Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Okay, never mind.
Makes sense.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah.
I know, all Marvels. They tie you into what's happening next. Okay. All Marvels.
I understand.
Yeah. I was on YouTube, though.
I get it. David is so mad. He said, "Are you serious?" He said,
Zeros.
Yeah, Zeros. But Shang-Chi was a non-canon character that they told properly, bro, because they didn't have the pressure of the studios to make it great. Right. And they told the story perfectly from beginning to end. They gave us problem, solution, didn't work. Problem, solution, didn't work. Problem, solution, it works, but it didn't work. Problem, solution, it really works. He's a coward.
Yes.
He's not a coward. It works. Movie over. Right?
They take you through a lot of...
I thought the storyline of Shang-Chi was dope.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it kind of had a little bit of a, heartfelt moment for me because it was a brother sister thing. Remember we talked about that.
Absolutely.
So,
So like explain it, bro. Explain it.
Well, it was like a Rocky. I don't know if I want to get all the way into that.
Okay,
I think that
shit pretty deep.
I did. I mean, but no, bro, I understood why it touched you the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it hit him as like one of the best Marvel movies that he's seen in a while. And you know, unfortunate circumstances, and real life issues. You know, it does connect you to stuff, bro. It's the same way that me and Dream, we're gonna get back into the Will, but and Dream understand why Will connected to me the way it did.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because what I was going through in real life, my real life circumstances related so much heavier to the book at that very time. I read it at the time where it was, boom, this is what you're going through. This is what you're reading about. And that does change your perception of what you, you know, watching or reading or looking at or whatever the case may be, your life experiences. So, yeah, I for sure get that.
I wish in the Shang-Chi, they went from his dad and them finding him and his sister to y'all gotta come home.
Actually, daddy had already knew what it was. They never was away until he couldn't find him.
Fact. Well, he said that, but I'm talking about on screen. Him finding him to them escaping to them going to war with their parents. I wish they'd have put something in there to make it where it'd have told a little better story to them fighting. Cause we talking about
to who death, fight?
Daddy and son.
It made a lot of sense. Daddy had been, it was almost like he was possessed.
He was.
Yeah. By those rings.
No, not by the rings. The rings wasn't doing it.
Yeah, the rings were.
Not that what happened to make him do the shit at the end. Those demons were talking to him.
But that's where the rings come from.
No.
You gotta go back and watch the movie again.
No, the rings didn't come from them demons.
Craig, what a ring. I'll wait till you come back.
Yo, those demons was being protected by Ty Lo or whatever it is. That's what was talking to him. The demons behind the big dragon scales. But he thought it was his wife. You know what I'm saying? I wish they told a story that to make the daddy.
Wait, what just happened? I just heard. So Dream trying
to figure out what a ring. He was saying that the rings weren't what was possessing the father.
That's exactly what was possessing the father.
Not to make him go look for his wife. The demons did that.
But the rings connected him to the demons. Rings is that's what I'm connected trying to tell you.
The demon, the darkness. What is it called, man?
The dark one or something like that.
Which is a big canon character for the Guardians of the Galaxy that most people don't know. It's a comic book thing. Right. But the demon that was behind the wall, the name of it, the Demon of Darkness, the Son of Darkness, whatever it's called, I can't think of it right now. He is a canon character for the Guardians of the Galaxy. But, yeah, the only reason why he heard those cries was because he had the Ten Rings.
Dweller in the Darkness.
Dweller in the Darkness is canon for Guardians of the Galaxy. But the only reason why he heard the sound of Dweller of Darkness is because he had the Ten Rings.
See, I got a different understanding. I got to understand.
That's why I said go back and rewatch it.
They knew that he had the power of the Ten Rings to break them free.
He was connected to them through the rings.
No, bruh. They knew that he was the only person who could get him them out.
Go rewatch it, please.
Yeah, you
please,
rewatch
just go rewatch it.
You gotta rewatch it.
Yeah, I'm hot too.
You're gonna have to rewatch it.
One of us missed it.
So they made that wall with dragon scale.
That's right.
Which is what the weapons that tribe was using in front of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
What the hell they ain't gonna do with the rings?
No. But the reason why they was able to reach him is because he had the ring. So you think they just can reach out behind that wall and talk to anybody?
Probably.
No. You gotta go rewatch it, bro. We'll have to go all the way back through the movie. Like you, at the very beginning, they talk about the origins, very lightly
right
of the rings.
You're right.
And as it goes on, then it comes to fruition what the rings come from and how they came to be.
Yeah. Okay. So with that being said, I don't know if I hope everybody's seen Shang-Chi because it's been on forever.
It came out September
on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Like
you either one got Disney Plus or two got. Jailbroken Fire Stick. You should have seen it.
I thought it was out for a long time because it's in the red box.
Yeah, it's been out for a while. You should have seen it.
Once they make a red box, I'm
Eternals come to Disney Plus in January.
You know what I just realized?
By what time? What part?
I think beginning next month.
Have you? Nobody seen it yet, huh?
He did.
I have.
Was it yes or no?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to give it like a 6.5.
So it was okay.
It was okay.
It falls in the pack with every other.
What I didn't like about Eternals was they did the exact opposite of what they did with the first phases of the Avengers. We got solo movies, and then we got like the first Avengers where they kind of started to introduce other characters.
They stepped,
but then they had they made you long term care about these characters, and they introduced so many that you know who they were. you grew with them, got introduced to more people, then you grew with all of them. Mm-hmm. With this, it's just like, here you go, eight motherfuckers. Get to know them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like the first 30, 45 minutes is a little slow. Mm-hmm. It's a little slow. And the whole movie like 220. 220, mm-hmm. 2.5. Marvel getting good for them 2.5 hour movies.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So,
but like that, but they're telling a lot of storyline. So
they are. That's what I'm saying. So
it's compressed.
And don't get me wrong. It's not once you really start to dig into the fabric of the Eternals movie, then it starts to get good. But it take you 45 minutes or 50 minutes just to get acclimated to who these people are.
Eternals a movie or a series?
It's a movie.
I'm gonna watch that tonight. Then
no, it's still in the theater. Like,
well, just say the same thing. Just say the same thing.
Say the same thing. Never mind.
Same thing.
I got you.
Thank you. That's perfect. Say this. It. Let it go. That's good. We good.
Good. But yeah, so I mean, it's.
Oh.
And look.
Bro, why is one of my smartest homies so slow?
And what you got, and you know, the other thing, that, and so, I was thinking about this as you start saying that, like, I'd be bad about series, like, just because it'd be so long on series, but I watch a ton of movies. And so just thinking about that, I feel like I done watched every Marvel movie that's came out this year.
I think I got a healthy medium.
So series and movies. I prefer series.
I like both. Because I get in moods to where I feel like I want to sit down for days and watch a series, or if I just want a quick fix and I watch a movie.
And I understand. So I respect that. I like series because I'm an anime guy. Clearly.
That makes sense.
Clearly. So series give you the opportunity to dig deep into... not just A characters, B roles. You get D roles backstory. You get that super dig deep, that super relevant, super tied all together. Oh my goodness, mind blown. Harder predict in a series than movies. And that's why I'm a series guy.
You seen Venom? The Let There Be Carnage?
Not yet.
I just watched it yesterday.
I seen that too.
I seen that today. Give me a rating. I seen it.
For Venom?
The new
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Day, yeah. Bro. Yeah. I told you that dinner.
What you told me?
I talked to you about Venom.
He said,
watch.
I'm going to give it about 7.5.
Oh, no.
What you give it about 7.5?
5.
So, I'm going to tell
the first one was
way better. The first one, okay. Maybe I'm a little biased because I have been waiting since the early Spider-Man movies for me to get Carnage. As a villain.
I figured you were going
to
say that.
In a film.
I'm with you, though. So, Carnage is like the Venom character that we waiting on.
Exactly.
Like, if you're a real comic book fan, you don't care about Venom. Carnage is the guy.
Carnage is the guy. So, I have been waiting to see Carnage in a film forever. And I like the way that they did it. Venom is also one of them kind of B-roll Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And because he's kind of off the beaten path.
Venom is a super important character for Spider-Man. He's extremely important character for Spider-Man.
So what made me ask you that was because the first post-credit scene in Spider-Man.
Right, for sure. And we'll talk about it off mic.
Right, but I'm just saying, but that first post-credit scene. It's for a reason.
Yeah.
Go watch Venom and you'll see why.
I don't got to watch Venom. I know why.
Yeah, the new one.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so that's okay.
Just because I'm a comic book guy, but now we talking above our audience.
Yeah,
here,
so no, let's get
we'll
back.
We'll get back. But Carnage is the first character that turned kid comic books into like this might not be for kids.
Yeah,
like I remember getting the Carnage book comic and reading it, and I was like, oh,
it's a little violent.
If my mama seen this, she wouldn't let me read it.
I like the light bulbs. I give it 7.5.
As a little kid. Oh, you seen it too?
Yeah, I watch TV, bro. But I like it because it let Carnage. This is the one where they let
Venom.
Venom be Venom.
And
Venom is a funny dude.
And that's what I was about to say.
Remember, I told you that. I said, that's what I was about to say. The best part of that was Venom talked so much shit.
He run his own. He the star of this show.
Venom for the same reason I like Deadpool. Because when we go into most Marvel superhero movies,
anti-hero.
That's what
Venom is an anti-hero.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, we so used to like these just, you know, superhero, super important, you know, like the Captain America, the Iron Man, the Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. the Wonder, not Wonder Woman, Lord, but you know what I'm saying, like superhero movies in general.
It's always the hero.
It's always the hero.
But when you add the anti-hero,
you know what I'm saying? And the sarcasm,
the Punisher,
that they do for these anti-heroes is what makes these characters so great. Yeah.
Bruh, the Punisher.
That's what I like it.
If they, bro, if I feel like they need to bring back.
They need to do one real.
Berthrall, ain't his name? What's his name? The guy that played the Punisher.
John Berenthal.
John Berenthal.
Yeah.
They need to bring him back for
I like him in all his shit, though.
Yes. Me too. I like him in everything. He was great in King Richard.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he's great in everything. So, but he need to do a Frank Castle role in a big movie.
I agree.
Because, so, if you watch the TV show, you see the Punisher, and you don't really consider him a superhero. You don't consider him a hero, but you just, like, follow his story, you room for him.
Right.
But, like, the Punisher is an anti-hero. He's the same thing as Deadpool. Yep. He's the same thing
Can you say the same thing about Daredevil? Venom?
Who?
Anti-hero?
Who?
Can you say the same thing about Daredevil?
Daredevil's a hero.
Yeah, Daredevil's a hero.
He's
Daredevil
a straight hero. Now, Punisher actually fights heroes.
Mm-hmm.
So, in order to be an anti-hero, every now and then, you got to be willing to kick your hero ass. Daredevil does that. Not Daredevil. Deadpool does that.
Yeah.
Deadpool don't care about nothing. Like, Wolverine, he hates. Mm-hmm. Like, that's his arch enemy, mm-hmm. Wolverine. Daredevil fights Wolverine a lot.
Man, you know, you remember when they tried to do that shit?
Yeah.
They tried to do that shit in the, which X-Men was that?
It was
pathetic.
Wolverine Origins.
No.
It was Wolverine Origins.
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was X-Men Origins. Well, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was that him and Sabretooth.
Yeah.
On the Hoover Dam?
Yeah.
Yep.
No, it was on the
Reactor. They was on the reactor.
They was over a reactor, a nuclear reactor.
Okay.
It was on open.
Remember, because his mouth was sealed shut.
Yeah, they call him on that? They didn't even call him Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds, they called him something else.
They kind of referred to him as Deadpool.
They referred to him as Deadpool at the very end.
But you... Ryan Reynolds is the only person to play three different characters in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Think about it. Well, technically two. Because he's Deadpool, but he was the bad Deadpool and the Deadpool we like.
Right.
And then he was, I don't even remember what his name was prior to, but he was in the Blade movies too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was in the Blade movies. So yeah,
they put
his character for X-Men Origins Wolverine came from the character he played in Blade.
The Blade movies is on hold, which really hurts my heart.
Yeah,
it's on hold. It really hurts my heart. Marshawn Ali, I think, would do Blade justice.
Mahershala
Ali. I mean, bro, I don't do good in English. That's why your knees look like you work in a coal mine. That's why you here.
All right. Bro, you lucky I'm on chill mode tonight. I just don't feel like fucking with your ass, bro. I will get on your ass.
Alright, we gonna get off Marvel.
We gotta get off Marvel.
I know we gotta get back to Will. I wanna touch on Old real quick.
Old. Okay.
I can talk about that. What did I think about it?
Yes.
I was disappointed.
You're not the first person I heard say that. Why were you disappointed?
Man. First of all, it was M. Night Shyamalan.
Okay, what does that mean?
We done talked about this
before.
What does that mean?
So, M. Night Shyamalan and me and Craig done talked about this many times. You probably know what I'm finna say.
Yeah, because you about to piss me off. I feel it coming.
Whatever the fuck you think. I don't give a fuck about that.
Three four-letter words in 2 seconds. Continue.
You either love him or you hate him. It's probably been...
Oh, I know what movie y'all talking about now.
You seen it?
It's probably,
I forgot that shit was
three on. Movies of M. Night Shyamalan that I just, I loved it.
Name them. Go.
Glass.
Okay.
Unbreakable and what's it called? With number being number one.
Split.
What number about one.
The Sixth Sense?
The Sixth Sense.
Oh, I forgot about
Signs,
The Sixth Sense.
Signs. The Village.
The Village was all right.
I'm gonna be real with you. I didn't really like Signs. I like The Village.
I love Signs. So
I like
The Village was all right, man.
I love those is my like that's my hard five. I love those movies.
So who else seen Old?
We did.
All right. So what y'all think?
I thought Old was. I think it was good, but it was rushed.
What can you
so
watch?
So there's
the theaters now.
No, it's been out forever. You can watch it for sure. You got the Redbox right beside your house.
Yeah. I'm going to go rent it tonight.
Yeah, you should watch it tonight.
They did. Seem like they tried to push through it too quick.
And that's what it felt like. It felt like by the time it got good, it was like, where do we go from here?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It felt like he wrote the story and then decommitted to the story.
Yeah.
So what do you...
He got another movie coming out right now.
For another or another movie?
Another movie.
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan just released another trailer that looks great. And I can't think of the name of it, but it looks great.
So, M. Night Shyamalan movies are like hit or miss for me.
That's why I'm just saying. Like, you love it or you hate it.
It ain't even... And we've said this before. You know, we talked about this once before in this podcast. I stopped going into M. Night Shyamalan movies with expectations.
Yeah, you have to.
Because I know it's either going to be hit or miss. I saw a ton of people say they didn't like this movie. They thought it was stupid.
I didn't know he did. I don't think it was stupid.
And
we're going to come back to that.
I forgot the movie was coming out. It wasn't until I went to go rent Venom. Mm-hmm. I rented Venom and I was like, oh, I forgot about O. All right, cool. So when I took Venom back, I rented O. I watched that last night. I liked it, but I agree with you. I feel like they rushed the story. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
It started off like a really good, you can tell it was something there.
Exactly.
But that's the same thing that happened with The Happening.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
The Happening started so strong, bro.
You know, you finna be pissed off for real now.
And then...
I ain't seen that one.
You ain't seen The Happening? When they was jumping off the roof? Nigga laid in front of the lawnmower?
Ain't seen it.
Bro. Mm-hmm. Bro, turned on the lawnmower and then walked around and laid in front of
him. I got a good one, though, that Wayne said that M. Night did, and I thought was a great movie, especially to become based from one scene the whole movie. Devil.
Devil. Oh, that's
man, you Devil's know what? I saw right. Devil one time. Yeah. I can't remember. Oh, that's the elevator. That was good. I forgot about that one. Devil was phenomenal.
Yeah. So that's the thing about M. Night Shyamalan. He either knock it out the park. Or miss it completely. Yeah. The Happening was a miss completely.
Yeah.
Lady in the Lake?
Never seen.
Lady in the Water.
Lady in the Water, whatever it was. It was terrible, bro.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my God. So, now, I used to say After Earth was terrible because of him, but now that I listened to the Will book, it wasn't him. It was Will.
Yep.
Will ruined that movie. So, like, but... I mean, bro, Stuart Little was phenomenal.
She's All That was phenomenal.
Yeah, people don't know that. M. Night Shyamalan done regular movies, bro.
Yeah.
I did not know he did Stuart Little. I didn't know that shit, bro.
Stuart Little is magic, bro.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I ain't know he
She's
did
She's All That is great.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he got some movies under his belt, for sure. Yeah,
but I mean,
Devil, one of my favorite ones. Bro.
Devil's just...
Bro, you blow me with that one. I forgot about Devil.
Yeah, Devil was
one of my favorite
Devil
ones.
Devil was good.
I gotta still give it the Split, but yeah, Split. Devil's my...
And reason why I go with Split, dog, is because, oh my God, bro, put on one of the best performances
I've seen in any movie.
That dude...
It's one character me I think that I love more than that character. And that's the Joker and I think the Dark Knight.
Wait, whoa. How we get here? Say what now?
He said that guy put on one of the best performances he ever seen.
I agree with him. In what movie? Split.
Oh. I totally agree with him. But bro, that Joker
for me.
Do y'all
remember like the way this dude played
schizophrenia? No. So I heard him say Joker. He said the Joker. I had to reel it in. Like, wait, what? What were you comparing to? Heath Ledger's Joker, just somebody who played a role the best. So
in any movie, that's what I was saying.
With that being said, Heath Ledger's Joker is a masterclass.
Yeah.
But his name is
James McAvoy
role in Split is 20 times better than Heath Ledger's Joker.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know about that, but yeah, I think that is one of the best ones though
you
ever.
Tripping.
Wait,
I'm a, I, so who?
Not 20, bro. No.
Wait, because I'm gonna be real with you. I feel like I know where you're going.
Wait.
All right, so let me listen.
Cook.
This dude played a completely different role about 10 times in this movie.
Yeah, he did. Different voices and all.
Voices, wardrobe, mannerisms, walking, everything. So method acting is something that we're going to get to again later when we talk about Will. Mm-hmm. It's when people embody somebody else. Mm-hmm. It is dangerous to do. Method acting is bad. You hear big actors like Denzel Washington, Matthew McConaughey, Leonardo DiCaprio, Will Smith talk about how method acting can ruin your life because you embody somebody else's spirit and it turns you to that person. James McAvoy was method acting about 10 characters.
Bro, it was more than 10.
It was more than 10.
I want to say it was like 27 or something like that. It was a wild ass.
But they only showed on film about 10. Yeah. Heath Ledger method acted the Joker. One. Now, mind you, master class of acting. Yeah, it killed him. It was a master class of acting. But if I'm going to compare the two as far as watching something special, James McAvoy in Split. In Split. To be able to be, like, bro, he was a woman in scenes, bro. He looked, now mind you, he dressed in a dress and a turtleneck.
Bro, when
he looked like him, but he sounded like her.
When he turned into the Beast, though, like, that was crazy. Like, the way his body, man, like, he, I'm sure there was some special effects and movie effects in that, but man.
Still going with Joker.
I ain't gonna argue with you because
it's a great pick, bro. Yeah. It's a great pick, and bro, one thing for sure, Joker's my favorite character in comics, period, because his character is so diverse, bro. Mark Hamill Joker is my favorite, which is most people don't even know.
Animated,
yeah, that's the animated Joker. That's the Joker laugh that you hear in your head.
Always be trying to tell me about
the Joker laugh you hear in your head is Mark Hamill. Yeah. Nobody else. It's Mark Hamill's Joker. And Mark Hamill is also Luke Skywalker. Most people don't know that. But that's my favorite Joker character. But that was amazing. What's the first Joker? You ever danced with the devil on a pale blue moon? Jack Nicholson Joker was phenomenal, right? I don't. Heath Ledger is the best on-screen Joker that we ever seen.
I agree. I'm gonna tell you. I think though, next to Heath Ledger's Joker, Jack Nicholson's Joker probably gave us more iconic lines. Mm-hmm. Not saying more iconic than Heath Ledger's Joker, but when you start to think about Joker phrases from just media, movies, you know, whatever the case may be, I think it's Heath Ledger's Joker. I think then I would probably actually go to Mark Hamill. Right. And then I would put Jack Nicholson in that third.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
And Mark Hamill is actually more, but Heath Ledger's Joker is more widescreen.
Exactly.
How many people watch animated shows?
Right.
Versus me. Now, me, I can riddle off a million Mark Hamill lines because that's my role. That's my world. You know what I mean? Like, that's Batman, my favorite superhero.
Yeah.
Joker's my favorite supervillain.
I'm ready for that, too.
And, yo,
for the Batman,
Robert Pattinson Batman, bro, it looked great.
Man, because and you know, I told you, I said, man, I don't know, man. He's so pale and skinny, just look flimsy. Just don't. He's nothing about him says Batman except the rich boy look.
Let me shoot straight with you. I don't. When I first heard it, I know we gotta go. When we first heard it, I was just like, I don't know how I feel about him being Batman. Then I saw the trailer and I was like, I don't give a damn about him being Batman. I want to see the Riddler. I want to see Catwoman. Yeah. I want to see the Penguin. Like,
so that hurt my feelings. But
what
he just said.
What? About him being Batman?
Yeah.
I don't care about Robert Pattinson playing Batman.
That hurt me.
I don't care about Robert Pattinson playing Batman.
Val Kilmer, I'm not going to be mad.
Val Kilmer is the best one.
Val Kilmer,
Christian Bale. But
I like Val Kilmer,
Christian Bale, bro. And Val Kilmer is my second, but Christian Bale played in the best Batman series.
George Clooney was tough to me. I think he's second.
Who?
George Clooney.
Then Christian Bale?
Yeah.
No, cuz.
I like George Clooney.
Wilding, bro.
But Val Kilmer is my favorite. Because
out of all of the Batman movies, The Dark Knight
is. The Dark Knight saga is crazy.
I ain't going to argue with that and say that's not the best saga. Not going to do that. But Val Kilmer as the philanthropist, smooth talking, smooth mild mannered, and then flip flop. Val Kilmer got it to me.
Val Kilmer was amazing. I can't even front.
Well, he's amazing. He's one of my favorite actors.
But anyway, like, so the Batman cinematic universe always portrayed Batman as like a kind of muscular guy. Yeah. But like the animated universe, he was more ninja-like. Yeah. He was part of the League of Shadows. So, like, that's why Robert Pattinson never struck me as weird.
Batman Begins starts off with him and his ninja trainer, though.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. That's why Robert Pattinson never struck me as weird. And then to see Robert Pattinson playing Tenet, I was like, oh, yeah.
He definitely looked like Batman in that. Hey, look. He looked like Bruce Wayne. He do look like Bruce Wayne, but he don't look like Batman.
We can get it. I like him.
I'm going to watch it for sure, though. I'm excited about seeing it because I just need to see it. I'm watching
Batman. I ain't missing Batman.
I like the fact that a lot of these hero movies are going darker.
Mm-hmm. They have. I noticed that.
So.
You know, bro.
It did start with Batman.
Dark. Doctor Strange is going to be dark. Batman is going
to be new Spider-Man Doctor Strange
coming up?
Yeah, the new Spider-Man is super dark.
What? Uh-oh, now I'm interested.
It's super dark. God, man, it's super dark.
What's the latest showing tonight? It's too late.
But you know, when it came out Thursday night, Daphne had a 2:30 a.m. showing. Either them or Pensacola.
Yeah.
I was like, who in the hell?
They sold out.
2:30?
2:30
a.m. I'm sure. Bro, it was sold out the weekend. Mm-hmm. Bro, I went to a 3:15 showing.
And sold out.
I got the last ticket at 3:15. They were sold out for the day. They had one ticket available for 3:15.
I went Friday. Mm-hmm. I went Friday night. About 6:30.
Bro, it's the highest grossing film since the pandemic era.
Oh, yeah.
I think it did $255 million over the weekend. Pandemic era record.
Mm-hmm.
That's close to what, like, before pandemic era number seals.
Right.
And they did that during the pandemic. Omarion out here touching shit.
touch what? Anyway.
touch.
<We're> touch what?
touch.
Well, we started. Let's get back to it. So we talk about the Will book.
Will been sitting on my table for what?
About 6 weeks now.
About 6 weeks. Will been sitting on my table. And it's been sitting there because I want it. Like, I'm helping him promote his book. Because Will is somebody I always looked up to as a kid growing up. Like, Will is Will, y'all. It's Will.
Right.
We finally got the panel is read it. I told Spike I'd send it to him for free if you want it.
I'll check it out, but I ain't had a chance.
It's $16. It takes some time.
I told you I had to. I'm probably have to.
You gotta be on the road. You gotta be on the road. Yeah, you gotta be on the road. Right now, you're on the road.
I'll swallow them all up on the road though, because I can drive for 11 hours and that's over half of it.
Yeah, bro. No, trust me. If you get on the road and you start your drive for 11 hours, you press play. You'll be 11 hours in. Then after it's time for you to stop driving,
you'll
finish.
You're gonna finish
the rest of it.
You get that deep into the book, you ain't gonna want to stop. You ain't gonna want to put it like stop.
It's deep. So I said, this is what I said when I finished. I said it's easily top three of my favorite books of all time. But what did you say? What did you rank it?
It's one of the best books I've ever read, but I don't know if I could put it like that. Now as far as biographies go. Yes, it's at least top two for me.
Well, you rank it.
If you go biography, that changed my rating.
Okay.
You know what I mean? No, first
I mean, that's what I'm speaking. Well, so I did a lot of self-help.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of them got repetitive for me. So I got like one, maybe two of them in my top five. But like the rest of them are biographies for me. Memoirs.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, if you put it in that one, comparing it to Charlemagne's and Kevin Hart's and all that. Yeah, it's top three easy. But when we said books, like I say, you know, I read a lot of other type of books, you know. It wasn't even close to my top three there.
Best in your top 10.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great book. And then, like I say, if for whoever do read it, if you got time to read it at night, or my bad, let's say listen to the audiobook, not read it. Listen to the audiobook at night, lights out. I put my thing on my eyes. He's so descriptive in his narrating that I know what his mama looked like. I feel like, well, I don't, but you know, I feel like I know what his mama looked like. I feel like I know what his daddy looked like. I feel like I know what his grandmama looked like. You feel me? I want to meet J.L. His storytelling ability is the best I've ever seen in anything I've ever read. That I give him credit for. His storytelling ability, the detail he gives to the stories is so vivid. I felt there.
I felt like I was there in the basement. You feel what I'm saying?
In Jazzy's basement.
Yeah, no, it was the girl basement. The girl. That was the show was at. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like I was there that night.
Yeah.
In his mansion where they was shooting dice on the pool table.
I feel like I was there when he was giving some description. He put me, his descriptions are so great. I could close my eyes and really drift off into him speaking. You know what I'm saying? That he did better than any book I've ever read.
Was there any part of the book that surprised you?
A whole shit ton of it.
Yeah. What stood out to you? Like, can you talk about one thing that stood out to you? That you wasn't ready for?
Man, that book was, it's too many of them points enough for me to give it one. It's so hard for me to give it one. Yeah, give me one that may help me.
So for me, it was when they was fucking off for the second album, mm-hmm. and they ended up broke.
Mm-hmm.
And him getting the 10 grand from
his homie.
From his homie in the BMW,
mm-hmm.
and getting out, and how you talked about the description when his boy was like, yeah, man, you know, you're going to be able to get out. And he was like, yeah. The way he was reading Explain, that part of it, I was like, bro, going to get killed.
And I thought he was going to go to prison.
20 seconds later,
he was dead.
He was dead. And so, I mean, it was that and him going, like, how he actually met Benny Medina. And that whole, like, introduction that, like, him going basically from being a broke rapper to, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, mm-hmm. how that whole little situation happened right there, that was probably one of the things that made me be like, damn, like, I never knew that. Like, I had heard the story about the Quincy Jones thing.
If there is a shop,
I had heard about that because on the Fresh Prince reunion, they talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that story, but I never knew how he actually got to L.A. and him just hanging out at the Arsenio Hall show. Like, little stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Was different for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Oh, the Bad Boy story. Like,
mm-hmm.
that right there was big for
Marty
me.
Marty Mar. Big Willie.
So, that and then probably the ayahuasca trip.
Okay.
Those three things. Were
so, you found yours yet?
Yeah.
Okay, I got one too.
Easily. I did not know the Fresh Prince story wasn't his story. That's what blew me.
Yeah,
that's the biggest blow of all, and people still probably, even though they're hearing us saying this, still ain't gonna believe it because it's so authentic,
right?
That we know that that's his story. The fact that the story sold so well, and it being the biggest episode of him not having a daddy, a lot of folks don't think Will Smith's daddy raised him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had to argue with Tisha about it.
Yeah.
I said, no, Will Smith's daddy was a great guy.
Bro, he break down that episode, which was amazing.
He
break down that episode where he had to act like, why he don't love me, man.
Not only that, but the way, like, when he lost it after he messed up the line.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. James Avery was like, focus. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Did,
like,
did y'all tear up a little bit?
Just like you watch
the show again. Then. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I'm telling you. Yeah, the scriptures are amazing.
Absolutely.
I would listen to it walking through the.
Bro, I teared up in several parts of the book.
Yeah. Well, me too. But that one, I had to walk outside because he was in the living room looking at me.
Several parts of the book, I was like, oh man.
The one for much of the same reason for him,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? That he was talking about Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
It was the chapter about his dad on his deathbed that did it for me.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like that was a tough chapter, and it was like because you already knew where it was going,
mm-hmm.
but just having to listen to the descriptors,
the detail, the how.
Man, he's so good at that.
Man,
I don't know if Mark helped him with the detail writing of it.
Mm-hmm.
If he did, they need to team. More people need to team up with Mark.
Well, Mark write all the celebrities book, first off.
Oh, he do?
Yes.
Yeah. I ain't know that.
So his books, first off, he a New York best time solo for The Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
He wrote that?
Yes.
I ain't know that.
Yes, that's who his co-author was. But my part in this book was the Willow story.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The Willow story was like, I'm being selfish. The therapy story with him and his him and Jada.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm being selfish. And then the Ratch story.
The who?
when he bought her.
Okay.
Her,
yeah.
What was
it? Oh, oh. Yeah.
Her lake. Her yeah. lake. When he bought her lake. Because that's something that I grew up on. My grandfather bought my family's land. So Dream, I don't even think Dream realized this until I was talking to him about it yesterday, that my grandfather bought the land for my family.
I didn't know that.
I don't think you realized why that's connected with me, though.
Okay, yeah.
Because my grandfather, my family in Atmore lives on a plot of land.
Okay.
Like, majority of my family lives on that plot of land.
Okay.
My grandfather bought it. It just wasn't named.
Right.
But it should have been. That connected with me because that's something that I always desire. Spike heard me tell this before. Man, I want to buy 190 acres and work it out so I can have all my people live on it.
Right.
That's just
like
something.
Build a compound, basically.
Yeah, because like I grew up on a farm style where like, hey, if you ain't got no job, we can pay you because you can just wake up at 5 and come pick these watermelons or tend to this herd. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Right. Like, bro, my grandfather ran away. You didn't have to find a job. He could pay you. You know, that was different. So that's the stuff that connected for me.
If I had a connecting point, it's his grandmama. His grandma reminds me so
Gigi.
Much of my grandmama.
Gigi.
So much of my grandmama. You know what I mean? When grandmama says something, pretty much law. It didn't really matter what you meant or what you said or how you felt about it. It was pretty much law.
Oh, yes. This is it.
You know
same
what I mean?
Way with my grandma.
Yeah, well, most of us don't have grandmama that lived that long, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like Gigi lasted. Did she die in the book?
She did die in the book.
I just thought about it. I remember, no, that was his mama that got sick on the thing. So, no, I don't remember him ever saying something about Gigi dying.
Yeah, his mama got sick on the
cruise. Yeah, I don't think he ever said something about Gigi. No, because Gigi was, I know Gigi was around with him and Jenny, I did 20 years old. So, I don't think he ever said about her dying. But the way she played her role
mm-hmm.
and the positive effect she had on his life.
The reason why, Will Smith is a cursor.
He cursed a lot.
But he didn't curse in his music. And he was like, that's one of my biggest things I had to deal with was music, cussing in my music.
When you talked about, when you first started reading,
mm-hmm.
and you was telling us, you was like, the reason he don't curse in his music.
It's epic.
And I was just like, all right. So when I got to that part, I was like, yo, that is pretty.
I mean.
That's heavy.
You know what was fire to me, though?
Gigi told him not to curse, bro.
It's how she told him not to curse, though.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She could have been the grandma. Like, my grandma would have got on my butt right then and there. She didn't go with him, no aggression.
I don't know if my grandma would, man. My grandma still, she gangsta.
Yeah, my grandma would have got on me face to face. You feel what I'm saying? My grandma was aggressive as well.
Mm-hmm.
The way she did, remember he had left his book. She just wrote a nice little note in there. Law. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Reading that without being fussed at, I think put an even bigger toll on your life than if your grandma came and got on you. Gigi was, she's a goat, bro.
You don't have to talk so ugly in your music.
Get your point across.
Yeah.
You know, I laugh a little bit because, so one of the things that my mom really didn't care for in rap music was the way that women were referred to, like being called out of their name.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't use the term, any term to call a woman out of her name. Mm-hmm. Even if I, like, not referring to a woman, because I really don't make music like that unless mm-hmm. I'm talking about it in context. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Like, not calling you that. This is a story, and I need that word to make the story. But any word that you would use to describe a woman out of their name, I never recorded any music with the words in it until after my mom passed. And even like till now, like I still don't really write
you
like
limited,
that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know it's not necessary for me to make the type of music that I have. But honestly, like one of the reasons that I do make the music that I make, even though it might not be the most popular music for everybody to listen to, was because I honestly made music for all crowds, if that makes sense. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I wanted my mama to be able to listen to my music. And my grandmother to be able to listen to my music and not look at me and be like, well, that ain't you. You know what I'm right. saying? Why you acting like, why you doing that?
And that's the same thing with this show, right?
Right.
So when y'all remember when we started the show, I was telling y'all,
yeah.
I was like, I wanted to be a little bit more raw and I could.
Right.
But then my mom and my auntie became regular listeners. A no brainer for me.
Right.
Respectfully, you know, I'm gonna clean the show up for them. Right. Right, I don't have to do that to get the point across, and they made me realize that without me even having to do it.
Right,
I feel that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's,
I feel that. My bad.
Nah, you good, you good. But I think about stuff like that too. Did you feel any sympathy, so to speak, for Jada? Because in the grand scheme of things, like for everything that we see. And that we know on the surface, from Jada's point of view, everybody like, damn, Will's is getting done dirty.
Yeah.
Then you go read this book and you be like, she really ain't want none of this shit for real.
Right, two sides to every story. I knew that from the beginning.
I think he was rough on Jada in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think Jada's rough on him now.
Yeah.
I think that's really how I see it.
Is she really rough on him?
Now?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, in the beginning, he was tough on her. Not being tough on her because he wanted to be, just because his personality. Really
rough him,
so, I ain't read the book. That's the reason why I kind of checked out the conversation. I don't have no dog in this fight. But, yeah, she rough.
But
if you read the book, you will understand why we're saying he was rough on her.
That's the reason why I ain't been saying
that. I'm only saying that because of what they agreed on in the end. It don't look rough because you're seeing the part she's doing.
Yeah, his selfishness was heavy, though.
Oh, super heavy. That ain't what I'm saying. Heavy. I'm saying, you said, we said she doing him. If me and you make an agreement and I fulfill my agreement and it look bad in public, yes. If it look bad in public, but this is something we agreed on. Is she really doing it bad? Or is they doing what they said they was going to do? She just, hers is more public. That's what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She really ain't doing wrong. They did what they agreed to do.
Bro, just the way he
the way he portrayed
that was wild.
Mm-hmm.
The first time
they met,
when he ended up marrying somebody totally different, when he was trying to meet her,
right?
That blew my mind because I'm like, oh, I want to see how they met. And he said, you know, I said I'm gonna end up leaving and marrying a whole other person, having a baby by her.
Sheree,
wait, where did she come in then? I thought he wasn't going to talk about her in the book.
Bro, Quincy Jones said something that was super real, and it's a very unpopular opinion. But he's like, man, don't trip. You're going to spend all your holidays and the rest of your life with those women. And I was like, yeah, ain't no woman on the planet want to hear that. But he was right.
He was right.
No, the point he said about that meant the most is
give her half.
Go on and give her half and get done with this shit. You ain't getting away from it anyway. You got a baby with this girl. You're going to be with her the rest of your life. Just give her half. You know how many halves I done gave?
He said something like that. Do you know how many halves I done gave? Quincy Jones.
Fell out the bed, man.
Quincy Jones, bro. First off, Quincy Jones is probably the most notorious, biggest, most powerful black man ever to walk this planet.
I agree.
Straight up.
Obama, Jay-Z, Puff Daddy, none of these cats ain't got nothing. You put all of them together, they can't tell Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones, real, bro.
I'm going to tell you something, too. I thought Kanye West's life was interesting. When we watched the Drink Champs episodes, right, and we talked about that, Will Smith's Who's Who is like four times that.
Yes.
Yeah.
He name dropped.
If there was a name drop
so
on there.
So many people.
Yeah.
And the part he, like near the end, when he was just like, if my life were a movie, this is the part where I would break the fourth wall and tell you X, Y, and Z.
Like,
and you'd be like, you gotta be shitting
you
me.
You ain't for real. Yeah.
Like, that part did it for me.
Yeah, oh man,
it was good.
Masterclass of a book.
Yeah, Quincy though, I got a whole nother respect for Quincy.
Quincy different.
Did you know that the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was originally supposed to be named the Fresh Prince of Hollywood?
Yeah, well, we read the book. He ain't read the book.
Shocking moments though, you know what I'm saying? mind blowing. And it would change in a split second.
The fact that Bad Boys was a buddy cop movie, not the movie that we actually got.
Yeah.
And two other people supposed to play the roles in it.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, two other people supposed to play the roles. That would have changed history.
Yeah, bruh. Legendary, bruh.
If two people not show up at a DJ competition, that would have changed history.
Bruh, Will's ability to look at it and be like, hey, we can be bigger than everybody if I just make a song, and that's advertisement, and it go number one. And bruh, his marketing for himself, he became 4th of July.
Yeah.
He talked about it.
He
was Mr. 4th of July. I remember being a kid and knowing that the 4th of July, every year we was going to the movies to see a Will Smith movie. Yeah. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Men in Black, Independence Day, Wild Wild West. Bro, we was going to the theater to see a movie that was
Wild Wild West,
by Will Smith.
She did, you know that
Big Willie week.
He hate Wild Wild West, but I still like it.
I thought it was dope.
I did too.
It's a good movie, but when you put it in line with all his other movies,
it's his worst.
It's
not his worst.
What's his worst? After Earth.
After Earth is definitely his worst.
Independence Day is one of my favorites.
That
was one of the first of his kind, though.
Yeah, and eventually
they fit in there with the.
That was his first solo big action role. Yep.
Thankful.
It was
my all-time favorite Will Smith.
I thought I heard something in this movie though. I mean, in this book that I didn't hear right, and for some reason I never did get to go back and hear it. I think he said he was getting ready for a movie or a show, and Jada applied for it and didn't get it because they said she wasn't tall enough.
Yeah, that was Will Smith. That was the Fresh Prince.
That's Fresh Prince.
Oh, that Fresh Prince you got to be on. Yeah. Okay.
That's why they went to a different world to see her. Because he seen her. He was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't remember what she was trying to be on.
Fresh Prince. I don't know, Spike. I don't know what your favorite Will Smith movie is. I can't imagine.
Favorite Will Smith movie?
Dream better not beat Craig to the punch.
Oh, no. You got me because I have no idea. Because mine is completely different.
I'm going to take a guess and say
Can't say yours completely different because you don't know what mine is.
Mine is 7 pounds.
I'm going to say I Am Legend.
I really don't know if I got a favorite Will Smith
movie. Oh, you trying to guess mine?
No, I'm trying to think of Will Smith movie. Unless I'm missing something. I had to go Bad Boy. I love
mine. Mine or your favorite?
Mine. I like the character Mike Lowrie.
Dope character.
7 pounds. It's my favorite. Ali.
Yes, sir.
I should have guessed that. You right. I should have guessed that.
You need to hear that story.
Yes,
Read that story.
The Ali story is about an hour long. It's dope. It's dope.
He made some friends on Ali that he lived with for a long time.
Do you think that was method acting?
Method acted once in his lifetime. Yep. And he didn't do it again.
He lost his wife to method acting.
Yep,
pretty much. Yep,
his original wife. He listed an episode that I actually went and watched. On method act, I mean that he said that I wasn't in an episode, and if you watch it,
what did he method act on?
He couldn't be
his first movie. Yeah, he couldn't be the first prince no more. He had lost the first prince.
He lost who he actually was. He had to hire some of his homeboy from Philly to come back and teach him how to be
hang around him again, so he can be himself again.
He had lost who he was.
Yeah,
that's how deep method acting was with him. But he's such a perfectionist. That was one of his problems. He's such a perfectionist. Also, he tell you about he got this last blessing because he went from being rich to being broke, which fucked Jazzy up. They don't talk about it much in this, but when Jazzy ended up going back broke, I think that was part of the reason why Jazzy was so scared to go to the Fresh Prince and do something else. I think he was more scared of getting rich and falling again than he was of getting rich. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's why he didn't want to do it again.
6 degrees of separation.
6 degrees of separation. But that's correct.
He was such a professionalist that when he did his scripts, he didn't just learn his script. He learned every script of every character on Will Smith. I mean, on the Fresh Prince. And he talked about the scene where you go back and catch it. He'd be talking to somebody, and then if you watch the screen good enough, he's doing their parts too when they doing their parts.
But you don't see it. And he explained a condition that's psychological where you don't see that other people doing it because you tuned in. But when he tell you, he tell you go back and watch like three episodes in this book. And I went and watched all three. And I watched him mouth stuff. I watched him not be him. And then I watched Carlton be the star.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I watched all three. He talked about that. I watched all three. And then I watched the episode where he got shot.
What Carlton told him in the beginning, too, was powerful. But soon as Frippin started, when they all got the meeting good, he said, if you got an advice, you know, what would it be? He said, whatever we name this show, make sure it's something you can live with the rest of your life.
Did he talk about the performance, what he did, where he wondered why his dad didn't want him? Did he talk about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
What
we talked about that just now.
Well, we talked about that, like, I don't know, probably 25 minutes ago.
I tuned out, bro, because I ain't seen the book. I mean, I ain't read the book.
So what you want to ask about that thing?
I just wondered, like, did he have any type of realism in that?
No realism, because his daddy was in his life. Daddy O was in his life. His whole life.
Mm-hmm. His daddy was when I said great dad.
His daddy was rough.
His daddy was rough, but he was made
him the
man
he is. Joe Jackson rough, was he?
Huh?
He wasn't Joe Jackson rough, was he?
No. They two totally different
people. No.
It's a different kind
he
of
was, rough. He was firm.
Yeah. He never pushed Will to do nothing. Not acting-wise.
Joe Jackson beat the son up.
He was he was more of a rebellion type person. Mm. That's where Will got it from. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But he was militant too, so he carried his household like a platoon.
That's a better word. His father was militant, and he applied military thinking.
Strategy to everything.
Everything he did.
Either you finish the mission or you die. If I ask you to clean the kitchen, you finish the mission or you die. Now he gonna kill you. But that's how he looked at everything, mm-hmm. was a mission. You feel what I'm saying? So he was hardcore, but, you know, Joe Jackson and them the people who beat you into and Serena and them dad, he wasn't that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't pushed Will into none of the acting stuff. He was more of a get a trade, get a job, get an education type guy.
Mm-hmm.
That whole Will Smith we learned was all Will Smith. His parents hated it. Well, his dad was like, do what make you happy, because that's what his dad did.
Mm-hmm.
Bruh, I know you ain't gonna read the book right now, but when you get back on the road, I'm gonna send you the book for free. I'm gonna send it to you. I'm gonna gift that to you.
Go ahead.
And you're gonna listen to it, and you're gonna call me, and probably in like 2 days, because you're gonna finish it in 2 days. Mm-hmm. You're gonna call me and be like, bro, I know what y'all talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene between the why my dad don't let, you know, his dad was a truck driver, by the way.
For some reason, I feel like I knew that.
His dad was a truck driver. No, not his real dad. The dad in Fresh Prince was
yeah.
And he's supposed to went on the road trip with his dad over the summer, and then he just left. That scene was the strongest performance from him in the show.
Up to that point, yeah. In his
life. That, when you get to that part and hear the story to that part, and James Avery, first thing first, rest in peace, Uncle Phil. For real. You're the only father I never knew.
Get my bitch pregnant, I'm gonna be a better you.
Straight up. When you get to that point, you're gonna realize, like, oh snap. That scene was huge for us, and it was huge for them as well, but what it took to make that scene was magic.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty magic.
You know.
And it wasn't quite scripted that way.
No, it wasn't.
That was pure magic, like you say.
The very first scene in The Fresh Prince that made James Avery respect Will Smith was magic.
Yep.
So he was supposed to, and I'm going to tell part of it, but he was supposed to sit with his back to the piano. But he sat facing the piano. And he played Fur Elise. And that scene was real. It was not scripted. It was real. And it made it to the show. Mm-hmm. And that's when James Avery respected Will Smith. Their first episode.
Hermione, Will was the only person on set outside of the cute girl. She ain't have much experience.
Who we talking about?
His sister.
No, Tatiana Ali had.
Not Tatiana Ali.
He's talking about Karen Parsons. Hillary.
Hillary.
Because he tried to date Hillary.
Yep. Yeah. But she didn't have much acting experience.
She had more than him, though.
She did. But she ain't have much. He said for a person with limited experience, she blew away the cast. That's how she got the job.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? But everybody else there was actors. Right. Even Tatiana Ali was actors.
Yeah, he was like at the age of 11, she had more acting experience than I had ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey was a superstar actor. James Avery was a superstar actor. The original Aunt Viv was a superstar Broadway.
Yeah,
and dancing ballerina.
He was like doing, yeah, like giving it like stats.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like triple threat actor, dancer, like she could sing too.
Mm-hmm.
He's like actor, dancer, singer, like stuff like that. Not to, could we still talk about the book?
Yeah.
The part that got me, and maybe it's because it's the artist in me, mm-hmm. was the part where his mama wanted him to go to school. And he wanted to go rap because his career was starting to blow up.
So me and him talked about that yesterday. Yeah. That was a big part too. Mm-hmm.
So and I'm sorry because I know, but so it's a part is this part of the book basically where he gotta go because he finna blow.
Mm-hmm.
But he also about to go to college. Mm-hmm. So it's his mama against him. They go to his daddy. He basically tell him, you know what I'm saying, you got 1 year to make this work, or you going to the school that your mama picked. His mama calls the admissions officer, asks if they can hold off his acceptance for a year. The admissions officer tells her absolutely, because he'll never get this type of life experience sitting in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And just hearing that, I was like, yo, that's deep, because we live in a society that constantly preaches higher education, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. And then when you really get into the real world as an adult, now don't get me wrong, I'm go to college. You know what I'm saying? If you can go to college, if college is for you, go to college. But you don't have to go to college to make a living.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To be successful. You know what I mean? Like, I guarantee you, if I knew the things that I knew graduating high school, I probably would have took up like a trade or something like that, because you can always take that up. And then still go back to school if you want to go to traditional school, earn a degree, stuff like
that. I say this about that, but and it's a two-part. I'll be quick. If you have a burning passion, something that you get up out the bed and do for free, that's worth millions, though, but you'll do it for free, I always follow that over anything, because you're going to be more successful at the thing you have that burning passion over.
Right, because it don't feel like work.
It is not work. And you're going to be better at it than anybody else, because that's your burning passion. Follow that first over anything.
I feel that.
Now, about that scene you talking about, the part that bothered me was, and like I said, I could see it in my face. I could just see it in her face anyway when he did it. When he turned to his mom and said, "Mom, I'm not going to college." I don't know why, bro, but I seen the disappointment in her face listening to that book. I seen it. I mean, that's what me and you talking about. I was like, whoa. You feel me? And then I already hear her say, "Your dad is going to kill you. I'm going to make him kill you." You feel me?
Yeah.
But I already knew how that was going to end because of what dad did at the boarding school. I knew he couldn't do that and be the man he is and turn around and force his son to do what his parents tried to do to him. So I knew how it was going to turn out. But he played it perfect.
Yeah.
He said it took a week. But the vision, I told you that. When his daddy came in the kitchen and leaned on the stove and called both out, I see the whole picture of his daddy. It was so vivid, bro. He's telling his story so vivid. I seen him be leaning on the stove with a cigarette in the hand. He probably going to light in the house. You know what I'm saying? And like, hey, this is what we going to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The stories he tell on Spike is so vivid. If you got him in your head and you're on a roll, it takes you to his world. It takes you to his work.
It was a great book, man. It's definitely worth a read. We dug into the wheel pretty heavy.
Yeah.
What else we had on, Jonah? I feel like this is a good spot.
I do too.
I feel like this is a good spot where it's organic. This is going to be last week y'all see Will in front of my computer. Will is going on my shelf and the rest of my archive. So, by all means, check out the Will book.
So,
if you haven't seen Spider-Man No Way Home, check out Spider-Man No Way Home.
Definitely.
Because I will be spoiling that for you in probably two episodes.
Before we close out, he asked me, you won't be involved, you don't know what it is, and I don't know the name of it. When his friend called him and told him that he had went overseas and did it.
What's ayahuasca.
Yeah. He asked me, would I do it?
Mm-hmm.
Would you do it?
Yep.
So when he asked me, I think I surprised him how fast I said, "Hell yeah, I'm in."
Yeah, you did surprise me because you ain't and you ain't that guy.
Wait, what does that mean?
To do a hallucination?
Oh, that's what it was. That's what you said. Yeah,
you ain't that.
You know, I don't do. I ain't with drugs. But Will did no drugs either.
Yeah, I understand.
But I mean, it was a short sale, though. I'm sorry. Yeah,
because of what it meant.
But they sold you real quick. Huh? You just got sold on a book. $16.
Because of what it meant, though. Mm. Anything that can bury me, it ain't going to kill me, I'm in.
It can do something worse than kill you.
Ayahuasca trip can do you very, very horrible if you're not in a good headspace. So, you have to be in a proper headspace in order to take an ayahuasca.
So, going back to last week, I told you the movie Inception was based off ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. The reason why the only thing about the movie Inception ayahuasca that's similar is that they had to have a totem to recognize real life. Mm-hmm. If a bad ayahuasca trip can separate real life and not real life. For life.
I think I'm
wrong. I understand, but I'm just saying, but for life. Like a bad ayahuasca trip can separate what's real and what's fake forever.
Still in.
Okay. I mean, that's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. Like when you said you was in, I was like, man, that was quick. I don't feel like you know how severe it is, bro, because it's the highest level of DMT you can take.
Yeah.
It's the highest level of DMT that you probably can take, period.
He said that tea is bad.
Well, DM, it's real, bro. It's different. Like you can get stuck there. Like I know somebody who took an ayahuasca trip that walked to the interstate often and let cars pass by because they can feel it, and that's what grounds them.
And y'all say y'all do that?
Well, ayahuasca trip, I would.
I mean,
because of what it's meant to do. I would do it, but I wouldn't do it before I was prepared to take
you have
that
to be completely prepared.
That's why I say you got to be in a good headspace in order to be able to do it. Because if you don't, like he said, it'll blur the lines of reality for you forever.
Yeah, you can't have, like, so Will did it. Mind you, Will did it. He's super successful. His life wasn't bad, but it could be better. Right. And it opened up the better part of his life for him.
And he was seeking, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a word they use. I've seen it in the movie too, where he was seeking enlightenment already,
bro. You see
what I'm saying?
Just the part where he talked about it was the first time he saw himself being that beautiful.
Yes,
that would just made me be like, oh, like it was just like this. It felt real uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
unfortunately, I like that fair, right?
You know what I'm saying?
I want the other ones. If I did it, I want the ones that she wasn't there. The one he said horrified him?
Yeah, bro. So she wasn't the shaman. You see, and...
No, I ain't talking about the shaman. No, I'm talking about the woman in his head.
I know it, bro. So this is...
I want the one that scared him. Because I want to see what's in me that I want out.
Let's close the episode. We'll talk off camera.
Let's go.
That's cool. Our quote of the week says, if we can just let go and trust that things will work out the way that they're supposed to without trying to control the outcome... then we can begin to enjoy the moments more fully. The joy of the freedom it brings becomes more pleasurable than the experience itself.
Man, I miss that.
It's a little long, because y'all stupid.
Yeah. Hey, man,
I got to get my quote of the day real quick. It says from the famous poet Willow. Hey, Mom, Dad got a beautiful family in his head, and it's not us.
Facts. Hey, Soft Got Something to Say, episode 86. Man, hey, we appreciate y'all. Spike. What's in the building? Looking like a coal mine. But that's my dog. Let's go, man. We see y'all next week.
Peace. Wow.